Welcome to the Mosaic of Marion, a weekly podcast hosted by Dr. Henry M. Meadows, Jr. and presented by Marion Baptist Church in Chatham, Virginia. It is our sincere hope that you'll join us each week as we explore what it means to be part of God's big picture through biblical discussions about the saving power of Jesus Christ and what it means for our lives each and every day, starting today.
Check out. What up out there, podcast land? Easter time's coming. Easter time's coming.
But
guess what's not coming? Womp, womp, womp.
Christmas.
The spouse episode. Let's just say that got shot down.
It was great revolt.
Quicker than,
I understand the dangers of being unequally yoked. I'm just saying.
Oh my.
Well, we're off to the races. First, it all started with me getting the last of Mona's story. Yes, I was bound and determined I was going to get the last of her conversation about her new backpack.
Because I was wondering if she was hearing you over there singing.
I was trying to get as quick as I could.
I know it, but I
was. Well, you know she's deaf anyway.
Well, so not I figured, that deaf.
I was laughing. I was like, she didn't hear him doing the countdown. And I'm like, he's going to get her talking. During my intro.
It was my sole mission.
Hey, I'm very excited about my new backpack.
Obviously.
First day of school.
Is it pink?
Jim and the Holograms.
Does it have bluey on it?
No.
Oh. Well, gracious.
Here we are.
Everybody looked at
Dan. I was like, I don't do the introduction. What is?
Oh, me and Mertis, all of a sudden, we just looked at Dan like, Dan, are you here?
I was busy doing my L'Oreal hair flip. Maybe it's Maybelline. I don't know.
That is absolutely true.
Takes a lot.
You better be glad I didn't say what I just thought.
Okay, good. Thanks. I appreciate it.
It's what we talked about today.
That was about sassy.
That you just cannot stay. And I about made a comment about that. So, see there. Good. Anyway.
We need a delay. Well, we have a delay. We have a delay like 3 days before it goes out. But never
this
mind.
This one we have a week in three.
Yeah,
days.
Yeah. We're
so, right? Okay.
Yes. Somewhere right. Around there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So, we're in Luke chapter. Luke. For
John.
Those listening, not John. Chapter 9.
It happened.
Not chapter 10.
This thing's
well,
Trek.
I wasn't in Luke 10. I was in John 10.
Yeah. So and we're John getting ready. Luke. And I give them two, here's a little backstory again. I give them two choices. And you know, Mona taps out for whatever reason. So then Dan and I have a full-on discussion about what we're going to do. And so we decide to go with Luke chapter 9. And I see Dan struggling because I forgot to tell him the verse at 51. And then Mona says, there's no 51 in there. And so she's like, oh, wait, I'm in chapter 10.
She's got a slimline Bible. There's some stuff left out.
And then so then she flips back a chapter. She goes, there's not one. Wait a minute, I'm in John. So we're thinking Mona is on something.
It's called either too much Tylenol or not enough.
Her height, it'd be children's. Oh, this is why we can't do two episodes a week. Things get weird.
All right, so Luke, are we in Luke over there? I can see your Bible. I see it.
If it's spelled Isaiah, you need to move.
All right, start at verse 51 and read through 55. We actually went to this one because of one word.
Well, yeah.
And then the ending of this paragraph that I just find hilarious.
Okay, so Luke chapter 9. Verse 51, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village.
Did you hear that little bit of laughter? She got to that point because of what we were.
Oh, I'm supposed to pray again.
What are you doing?
I'm just enjoying the misfortunes of Mona so much.
I mean, it was just that little bit of laughter. If you were listening, you could hear her almost bust out laughing right there.
Just a little laughing. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time where we can be in your word. We thank you for this season where we remember the sacrifice that was made so that the gift of salvation can be made available to us through the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so, Heavenly Father, let us never forget just the mercy and love that was shown through that sacrifice, and that it was a choice. It did not happen by mistake, but it was the way you had planned it, Lord. So we just thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Hey, by the way, I am Hank Meadows, pastor of Marion Baptist Church. Got the OG over there, the home slice, Miss Mona. Hey. And got old Pumpkin Eyes. You said yesterday you like
that.
That's it. Pumpkin Eyes over there. He's now four-eyed Pumpkin Eyes.
Four-eyed.
So, question, big question. I haven't done one of these in a while. If you were going to talk with someone about Easter that never had heard of Easter or Jesus, and you were going to combine those two together, which they sort of are combined at the hip anyway, what would you say to that person about Jesus and Easter and that whole deal? And Mona laughs. She's got her giggly pill on today.
Because you just look at me like, what are you going to say to that?
I mean, all these are trick questions. I'm just trying to figure out how to convince her. Yeah.
I was listening to your question.
She's like, I'm going to make Dan answer this first. I'll just sit back.
I mean, for me, I just go to the resurrection, but then then I stop and say, but the crucifixion is just as, they're both so, you can't just have the crucifixion. If Christ, if he had just died, it would not do us any good. And so we have to have the resurrection, but obviously if he wasn't crucified, that doesn't do us any good.
Logistically, that doesn't work. Right? Yeah.
But the crucifixion was necessary to pay the penalty. So, I mean, so you have to have both.
I'm being serious. Did she say anything in that 3-minute rant there?
I think she did a great job providing us the order of operations. I think that's great.
She missed the question itself, though.
No. Let me take a swing here.
You did.
What would you tell them? Well,
I would tell them.
Yes. Yes. Why is the camera on me today? Why? We're moving it.
Mona literally just spit. Y'all, she spit water everywhere.
Oh, like I was in the splash zone at SeaWorld. It was beautiful.
Oh, my lady.
Oh, we got to check your Tylenol. Something's up. All right.
Look, she looks like my grandson. You got water all over.
I take my earlier statement back. There is Christmas, and it's today. That was a beautiful gift. I'm going to try to recover us here. All right. Maybe not. I don't know if it's going to work. As my dear friend Mona was going to say, I think that I would focus on not just the actions or the order of those actions, but also the reason for, the fact that why he had to take our place and pay that debt through the crucifixion and why we can rejoice because of the resurrection. And so I think I don't think I can word all of it in a short amount of time here, but that would be where I would focus, was that we were the cause for it, and that was the only possible answer for us to have salvation. Did that answer anything?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, not being mean, but you actually said something. So if I were to answer it, I would just say something to the effect of, that by the choice of heaven, the God-man came to die. The God-man being Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
No one took his life from him. I'm sure we're going to go there at some point, John chapter 10. Yep. Nobody took his life. It was a conscientious decision that was actually made before there was ever a human.
Right.
That in the foreknowledge of Almighty God the Father, Almighty God the Son, Almighty God the Holy Spirit, that there would be a day that the second person of the Trinity, and I know you're probably like, well, this is a really long answer, but this is what I would say. The second person of the Trinity would step out of heaven and be born,
mm-hmm,
like we are, because we needed one of us to die.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, if mother is a sinner and daddy, father is a sinner, then the bloodline is going to be that of a sinner. So we needed that broken. And so Mary, I'm sorry to anybody out there that thinks that she was not perfect.
Right.
Period.
Yep.
Right.
She was a virgin.
Right.
That's the only thing that you can say about her. She was a teenage virgin that obviously believed in Jehovah, and God was her father that placed Jesus in her womb. They didn't have sex. They didn't any of that stuff. He was placed. And so he grows up, he lives a perfect life, and then he died for us. Mm-hmm. Why did he die? Then I would just let scripture begin to speak.
Yeah.
He became sin, mm-hmm. who knew no sin, that in him we might become his righteousness. So that's what Easter, and we chose this specifically because it does point to exactly what we're saying, mm-hmm. that yes, and you did hit it right. He had to, both are necessary. He had to die, but he had to also rise again.
Right.
Yeah, if he'd have just died, that doesn't help us at all. We still are stuck with death.
Yeah. Right. That's what we see with other false religions.
Yeah,
you know,
they don't have an answer for the death thing.
Yep.
We needed someone to redeem us, mm-hmm. pay that sin debt, and then defeat the last enemy, which was death,
right.
by conquering it.
Yep.
So it was a two-part harmony there that we needed. Mm-hmm. Well, I could make it a triple harmony because we also needed the birth.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
And everything in between to live perfectly. But when we're specifically just looking here, we needed the burial, the death, to pay the sin debt. It had to be that perfect sacrifice that was written into by the righteous requirement of the law. And then we needed the resurrection mm-hmm. to finish that.
Yep.
So that we could enter heaven and not just stay in our dead zone. I don't know other way to put that.
I'm playing the old TV show now.
Yeah. So... You want to try again? You want to
try again with what? The answer?
Yeah.
Well, I liked my answer.
Okay.
I was about to say she's standing firm on her, ain't she?
Hey, you might as well. So here's the key word of this, and really we were looking at really that one word. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now that word "set" there means steadfastly set, to turn resolutely, to strengthen. It's the same word as used in Luke 16:26. It means fixed. In other words, and I get this idea, I have no clue which way Jesus was facing or where Jerusalem was in relationship to where he was facing, but you get that idea, specifically the second definition I gave you, to turn resolutely, that is like he just turned and was like, okay, boys.
It's time.
It's time.
Yeah.
Well, as I was reading it, I noticed that that word "set" is repeated, that it's repeated again in verse 53, that he was set towards Jerusalem. And so,
wow, I've never seen that.
Yeah. So it's one word, but it is repeated. And so that's important.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I've ever seen that before, but I noticed.
I literally have not.
When I read it. And so when we think about him setting his face, I could be wrong here, but I feel like it's indicating that it was obvious to those who were with him that he was resolute on heading towards Jerusalem, and so that it was obvious to those around him that he knew that it was time and it was time to go.
Yeah, but I don't know that they understood why he was so resolute. You know,
I'm sure that
okay, he's going to
Jerusalem. Something's
right, but they
didn't for the Passover,
right,
but
mm-hmm. right,
whatever.
Absolutely, I agree.
You want to comment a little bit more on that, Dan?
No, it just amazes me, and it's one of those things where I catch myself saying, "Well, you know, if I had just been there with him," I've said this before, like, then it'd be so much easier to understand and be. But here we got the guys that spent time day in, day out with him. They're like, oh, what are we doing? You know, like.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, he tells them. I mean, so many times he tells them in scripture that he says, listen, let me find one of them real quick. Where he says, well, you figure if I wanted to get it quick, I wouldn't. I'm totally going somewhere else. So, how you been?
Here we go again.
Yeah, here we go again. So, as got to find the place that I want to be. And when they were on the road, this is in Mark 10, they were on the road going up to Jerusalem. Jesus walked ahead of them, and they were amazed. And those who followed were afraid, taking the 12. He began to tell them what was going to happen. Say, see, we're going up to Jerusalem. So this is in conjunction with how Luke says he said it. Mm-hmm. See, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes. They will condemn him to death. He deliver him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he'll rise. But you get no sense that the disciples are like, all right, let's go.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And you're just like, are you not getting what this man is saying?
Yep.
But obviously not.
Well, and I think, too, we have this problem because, again, we're looking back and see the full picture through his word where, you know, we probably, you know, I mean.
I totally get you. And then we would have been saying, but this man said,
right?
I'm going to go up and they're going to kill me. But on the third day, this is the part you just want to go. I do want to ask all the disciples saying, I mean, or ask Jesus, did you just blind them to that part?
So that there a language problem or
expecting you to rise again on the third day? And when the women go and come back and say, we've seen him, Peter, you and John have a race to get there. I know one of the funny things we've laughed about. That's why John gets to call himself the one who Jesus loved. What did you not get about that whole statement? I'm going to rise again on the third day.
Right.
Yeah, so we would have been no different.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm kind of torn because at the same time, that's not something you hear often.
Yeah, so you think you would have stuck.
Yeah, well, yeah, now that's true. That's true. Yeah. Right. After the fact. Yeah, yeah, right. I'm with you. Okay. I'm with you.
But it took, you know, and, I mean, this could go somewhere. But then you could go, and once he begins, I was thinking about the Emmaus Road, and he begins to talk, and starting at Moses and the prophets, he began to explain to them what the Savior, the Messiah, had to suffer. And like, their mind, were our hearts not burning inside of us when he talked? So it's the work of the Holy Spirit, I know. But he had been telling them this all along, though. I go back even before that to John 10 when he says, for this reason, this is verse 17 of John 10, for this reason the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Mm-hmm. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I love this. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. Mm-hmm. He's continually, when you really look in this, in the scriptures, he's continually telling them, I'm going to die.
Right.
Yeah.
And the word there, when you're reading them other ones up, he'll, you know, be up, he'll be spit on and killed. That literally means a violent death. Mm-hmm. That word killed there means a violent death. So that's what Easter's about.
Right.
Yeah, we look at all, and we focus on Resurrection Day, which is amazing and absolutely praise God. But Friday was so vitally important, too, absolutely. Because if above anything else, it fulfilled Scripture.
Mm. Yep.
And it was a day he paid the price.
Yep.
What are your thoughts? Because I've been talking very much.
Well, when you were talking earlier, and you were talking about how before the ages began, and God knew that this was the plan that was going to happen, he knew he was going to send Jesus. Like, sometimes I just want to sit on that fact. And if you've never sat with that fact and let that fact blow your mind away, like, sit and let it blow your mind away, that before we were even created, before Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, before they were kicked out of the garden, God knew that they were going to do that. And God knew that he would have to send his son to pay our ransom for our sins. And yet he created us anyway. And yet he pursued us and loved us with a steadfast love. And it's just mind-blowing that, because he could have from the very beginning said, no, not going to do it.
Because we add nothing to God.
Right.
Let that be a part of that thought. Because I'm sitting there going, exactly what you're saying. I'm going, I wonder if when God formed Adam, before he breathed life into him, I wonder if the Trinity just looked at each other and specifically at Jesus. You know, God the Father, I'm like, I'm not taking the nails. And the Holy Spirit's like, I'm not taking the nails.
Are you sure we should do this?
Right. You ready for this? Because this is what kicks it off.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, there's, you know, one of those countdown clocks.
Well, other than being horribly upset that you took my final thought that I've been over here just thinking about, as soon as he was real, I was like, hold on, I got it. But that completely blows this idea out of the water that, that you know, the and we talk about all the time that I got to clean myself up first. From what he knew, yeah. He knew before man was ever created, the extent of what you're not going to surprise him. He was like, oh, I didn't realize it was going to be that bad. Like,
yeah.
No, yeah. You know, so he's already, you're not fooling him. He understands. And he said, come anyway.
And all of your sins were taken care of 2000 years ago.
Yeah.
You're not going to slip one in on him. Yeah. Like, I didn't know he was going to do that one.
He was just over the limit now. We didn't plan ahead.
The blood no longer works.
Yeah. but it does. And so often, here's what we really do. We say, well, I don't think I'll fit in with the church folk. That's what it's not even that God won't take us usually. It's that God's people won't accept us. We worry about that.
And the truth is, sometimes that's true.
Well, but my argument against that is if God accepts me, I don't care what his people think. I mean, who am I answering to? The church, and we talked about this in the last couple,
the church has done a very poor job.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. Of accepting certain groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, praise God, I think I can firmly stand here and say whoever walks through the doors of Marion Baptist Church. I can't talk about your church out there because I'm not your pastor.
Right.
But I can say this church.
Right.
It doesn't matter. We've got people from all walks of life, and I'm looking for more.
Right.
It's just, that's a crazy thought, though,
mm-hmm.
when you really focus that. And then, so you focus on that, and he takes that breath,
mm-hmm.
maybe right before he breathes life, and mm-hmm. I can take you to Genesis, and that's what it says he does.
Yep.
He breathed life into this one he made out of clay. You know, God, you know, I heard a sermon one time about the only times God has gotten his hands dirty.
Mm-hmm.
When he created, I'm trying to think what they were. When he created Adam, when he buried Moses, and when he took the nails. That was a pretty deep sermon.
Right.
I can't remember it all, but it was, I think that was a title, When God Got His Hands Dirty.
Mm-hmm.
So you got that, but then I wonder if in that moment when Jesus stopped for a minute and whether the Father spoke to his heart or the Holy Spirit, however the Trinity was, we know Jesus would go away to pray and be with the Father. Nobody knows how that all worked.
Right.
Nobody, I don't think you can on this side of eternity because God is so far above us. If maybe the Father whispered or the Spirit just said, it's time.
Mm-hmm.
Or Jesus in his omniscience, he just knew it also. We know he set some things aside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he was here, he sort of, it's almost like he closed some stuff off just for that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just wheels.
Yep.
And he firmly fixes his mind and his sight and his everything about going to Jerusalem. Can you imagine those steps? The closer he got, can you imagine how fast in his humanity? And we know he had humanity.
Yeah,
right.
The prayer, yeah,
the prayer, yeah. Go to the garden. Yeah. We're it's crazy. We're all starting to think alike. How his heart had to be beating fast as they were shouting, "Hosanna! Praise to God in the highest!" As he rode in on that donkey,
mm-hmm.
because knowing that just a few days later, they were going to turn on him.
Yep.
Well, and this is, I'm not throwing anything new out there, but, you know, again, he, in his human form there, he felt every bit of the process.
Why is that important?
Because it was what we owed. I mean, you know, it was what we were supposed to experience because of our sin debt. And so if he had been like, well, I'm just going to somehow close it off so I don't feel anything, there's no price paid at that point.
Yeah. So that's key.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
That he had to feel every lash of the whip, every punch of the face, everything on his, every drive in his hand. Because if he doesn't, then it's invalid, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And the amount of restraint that took to let himself experience that is just, all it does is point to how great that love was. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, because here's the thing. I have a high pain tolerance. I don't. It's just how I'm built. Ask Wendy if I get a splinter. I'm done. I need 6 weeks to recover. So if there's a way I can get out of pain, I tend to take it, you know. But to be God himself and have that power, he could just rose up and left. But to
how many legions of angels?
Yeah, are at the ready, you know.
And you know they were.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Like there's no way they were just like, well, we know how it turns out. We just won't pay attention. Yeah. Like, no, they were. And so, but to say, and again, it even becomes more overwhelming when you think of the fact we don't owe anything. I mean, we don't add anything, to God. He is complete in himself. So, from a numbers game, it's a net loss. But it pleased him.
Yeah.
And it glorified him to do this. So, you know, just all that combined with that restraint of that every second he's on there, he's saying, I'm willing to be on here for you. And that's just dumbfounding to me.
All right, I got a pretty deep question. How much time we got?
We know what happened last time.
Hopefully enough for Mo to dry off after the answer here.
I'm not.
We got
still wiping up water there, Bob.
We got about 4 minutes.
How do we know that God accepted his sacrifice on the cross?
I'm trying to figure out what.
I got an answer that I feel is completely wrong.
Well, yeah.
But no, I'm going to go back to that prayer that we were referencing. So he says, if there's any way you would take this cup from me, do it. But if it's your will, so be it. You know, some paraphrasing here, so be it. I'll go through with this. So the fact that he didn't provide another way to me shows that was acceptable.
Okay.
Now, Mona, you give the right answer.
No, because I don't. But
it's very I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
But there's another thing that specifically showed God accepted it. Come on, think.
Trying to read your mind, it's not working.
Think everything that happened.
No, it is. It's just nothing.
Think everything that happened on Friday after he died, and think about what happened 40 days later.
Okay, so because he took him up and he was able to go up and sit at the right hand of the Father.
Okay, at the ascension.
Mm-hmm.
So the ascension is proof.
Yeah, that's pretty accepting there.
The resurrection and the ascension is
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say the resurrection, but I wasn't sure if that's what,
And
the ascension.
The veil being torn.
Yeah.
Mm, yep.
Because that gave us access. But you're right. Yeah. But you're right in this sense of, because God didn't give another
because
way,
he orchestrated all
this
right,
was the thing that he was going to accept when Jesus did it, as long as Jesus didn't at some point go, nope, come on.
Yeah.
And that's why I think he would not take the wine they tried, because he had to feel. Mm-hmm. When we skip over Isaiah 53, the end of 52 into 53. When it says you couldn't even tell he was human.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They pulled his beard out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
brings me to tears every time I talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
For God to do that for somebody that I know who I am, and I offer and add nothing to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks through all that for me.
Yep.
Okay, what were you saying?
No, I was just saying kind of a guesstimate. I'm sure we don't fully know, but how long that was, a long process too, not just the extent of the pain, but how long it lasted. This was not, we tend to think, oh, it's over.
Well, basically at midnight on that Thursday,
right?
Or they found him, we're thinking around midnight, and they beat him basically
yeah
until they hung him
yep
which was sometime Friday morning you know, the illegal council. Mm-hmm. Everything about that trial was illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
According to Jewish law.
Yep.
You couldn't do it at night. You couldn't do it unless you had everybody there.
Yeah.
He didn't even get to defend himself. So probably at least 12 hours he went through beatings and mockings and spit, and then and that's just getting to the cross.
Right.
And then we say, "Oh, I'm so persecuted. I had a conversation, somebody didn't like what I said."
Right. Yeah.
You know, right. I mean, it just
Or I'm so persecuted, they don't speak to me because I'm a Christian.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get over it. Right. We didn't even get And then the funny part of this is I have to say this. Be careful when you try to be holier than thou. We're not going to hit on this long because we don't have time. But then old James and John, because Samaria basically said, don't come through here. The Samaritan says, don't come here. We're not coming here. And then, you know, James and John said, hey, Jesus, you want us to call down fire on them boys right there? Just let up, consume them. That's why they're called the Brothers of Thunder, Sons of Thunder, and Jesus, just get the idea. He's like, oh God, what do I have to work?
I was gonna say, he's got the foreheads, man. He's like, what in the world are we doing here?
It's the best we could do, Father. Yes. These dudes. I'm kidding. He knew who it was. So hey, we're just so closing thought. Let's just do that. I can't get my eyes to quit leaking. Easter always makes me cry.
I'm trying to decide which part I want to hit on. I think because you mentioned the veil and God's acceptance of his sacrifice because of the veil. And I think that means so much to me, because that is what allows us access to the throne of grace.
Good.
And if that veil hadn't been torn, we would still be separated. Mm-hmm. From God. We would still be separated from his throne of grace. And so when we read in Hebrews, have to go to Hebrews, when we read in Hebrews that, you know, we can with confidence, not with our head bowed and shamed, not with uncertainty, but with confidence, because that veil was torn, we can enter that throne of grace and find the mercy and grace that we need for whatever it is that we're facing. What are we facing? What do we need mercy for? What do we need grace for? And it's there. And I love that. And that's one of the things that means so much to me, that to be able to have access to God's throne because of that.
You know, I had a great one and dear friend stole it, but I've got another closing thought here. A while back we had to deal with this comment, you know, oh, God is a mean God, you know. Mm-hmm. How much more proof do you need?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, how can you even begin down that road when literally what we just got done talking about is God taking all the pain, all the hurt, everything that we deserved, and saying, no, I'm going to put it on my perfect son instead. Right. You know, yeah, that just doesn't track.
Right.
Exactly. Yep. That dog won't hunt.
Yeah.
As my daddy would say a lot of times. Mine is this, and so thank you, Dan, you stole mine. It's the route I was going. When you think about Easter, you really think about pain and suffering and gore and the beatings, but you really think about love.
Mm-hmm.
This is the greatest demonstration of love ever.
Absolutely.
Shown in the history of mankind.
Yep.
Was Jesus on that cross. I'm not talking about the resurrection. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about on the cross.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And all the events leading up,
yep.
That if it was 10 to 12 hours, whatever it was, that was the greatest picture of love ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back, and this is the part that just gets me, and I go back to, and he did it for somebody like me.
Mm-hmm.
Same.
Yep.
It just rips my heart out, man. Mm. Anyway, let's pray. Father God, none of us fully understand what all you went through. God, I believe the spiritual hurt of that moment of not closeness with the Father possibly was the greatest pain you went through. Because the writer of Hebrews does say that you endured that with joy set before you.
Yep.
You knew what was coming, but in that moment of separation, when you took all the sin of the world, not your sin, for you were perfect, but the sin of the entire world upon your shoulders. What a time. And God is something we'll spend all eternity thanking you for. So Lord, just be with us. Help us to live more in light of a resurrected Savior who loved us so much that he died for us. God, thank you for this opportunity. God, be with us. We do pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I am Hank Meadows, lead pastor of Marion Baptist Church. I got the OG home slice right over there. I got pumpkin eyes over there. Thank you guys so much.
Bye, y'all.
Whoop, whoop.